Yes, I'm online.
Okay, there we go. Okay, great. So you're on air, actually, so that's great. So, hi, Seb. You're with SKP?
Yes, that's correct. I'm one of the members of SKP. We've just received, obviously, the judgment in the case. So it's a very interesting time for us.
Lovely. So do you want to talk about where the Marina application is up to? Because there have been a number of different kind of court processes. So what's the latest? What's going on?
Yeah, so the kind of step we've been waiting on for the past 3 months is for the Environment Court to make its decision on SKP's rehearing application. SKP had put forward an application for the court to rehear part of the Marina consent application, and the basis under which we sought that rehearing was that the court had not heard from the Ngāti Power represented entity, who we say is the Ngāti Power Trust Board. And the trust board is, against the Marina application. The court just has taken 3 months to issue its judgment, which was, a little bit surprising because that was a longer period of time than it took in the original consent application. And we obviously think that's because the issues we raised were so important and complex. Ultimately, the courts decided not to grant the rehearing application, and in a fairly lengthy judgment, it set out its reasons for that. And we're taking the time over the next week to obviously read and consider that judgment. And whilst it's a little bit disappointing that the courts decided not to allow the rehearing, there are some encouraging things in the judgment itself, and at the same time, there really appears to be more questions that the judgment poses than answers.
Right. And so, what does this mean in terms of actually getting a marina in on the ground on Waiheke? I mean, I think that's what people are most interested in.
For the applicant, Kennedy Point Boat Harbour Limited, it means that they're a step closer to having certainty that the consent that they have, might not be subject to any more challenges or hurdles. But at the same time, we understand from, and it's recognised in the judgment itself, that, the applicant, Kennedy Point Boat Harbour Limited, also has other changes to its current plan and marina design that still need to go through processes. So there's a little bit more certainty for them, but at the same time, for the community, what it means for us is that we need to kind of consider what this judgment means and whether we continue to seek to enforce what we say are the rights on behalf of the community, and also continue trying to stop what we see as a disastrous or potentially disastrous marina going ahead. And I say that because all over the world at the moment, there's such an increasing emphasis on environment and environmental matters. And we're only beginning to scratch the surface on, what affects our past practices and past development are having on the environment. And it seems, almost insane that we would allow these type of developments to go ahead, given what we know today, as opposed to say, even only 12 months ago, about the disastrous effects of our current way of developing.
Mm. And there also seems to be more public interest, doesn't there, like around climate change and more awareness that we actually have to take active steps to combat things that degrade our environment in relation to that.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot more global awareness, I think, and interest. But I think the great thing about being on Waiheke and a part of that Waiheke community is the Waiheke community, by and large, seem to have been enlightened and aware for a lot longer than maybe the rest of the world. And it's why, you know, we've been able to take on cases like DMI and SKP, because that awareness has been rooted in a community that is very interested in, and seems to have always been interested in, environmental matters. And so this a decision like this sits, you know, a little bit more harshly against a community like ours, where we do seem to have a much greater respect, awareness, and interest in environment over other things. You know, we're not as interested in commercial principles first. I think in our community, what we value is our nature and our environment, our ability to, you know, be more communitarian and towards our neighbours, our ability to feel safe and as if we are contributing something positive to our space, rather than always taking from our space.
Mm, indeed. And there are certainly a number of initiatives at the moment between the Resource Trust, you know, Forest and Bird, Predator Free 2050. There's a whole bunch of activities which are based around making the environment better. So, yeah, no, that's certainly consistent with that. Now, so I think what you seem to be saying is that while the applicant is one step closer to being able to have a working consent for this particular application, there are still other actions that can be taken in terms of the decision and reviewing the decision, and then also possibly is there something the consent allows them to continue with the application as it is, but it's possible that they might be wanting a different application.
Yes. Look, I want to make it absolutely clear that, you know, for the developer that this is a positive and more certain outcome for them. But as a community and as a group representing a large part of the Waiheke community, you know, we haven't gone into this expecting an easy fight or an easy battle. Whenever you stand up for things that are, you know, principle-based, environmental, you know, you understand that you're going to be in it for the long haul. And so there are a lot of things, both with this judgment and with the ongoing processes that the applicant has to go through, that allows us the opportunity to make sure we continue to hold not just this developer, an applicant, but others, to a standard that respects and reflects Waiheke's values and interests. And like I say, at the forefront of that is, you know, a concern for our environment, making sure that we are adding something positive rather than always taking from our environment and community. And that includes, for example, the conditions of consent. You know, there's over 200 conditions of consent that the developer has to meet, and we need to make sure that we as a community are conscious of those and hold them to account and to the standards that we say reflect our values and the interests of the environment. We will pore over this decision over the next days very carefully to see what, if any, other options it allows us to pursue. You know, it's in a case like this, you always expect that there may be setbacks, but I don't think that our group or our community is ever going to stop giving its voice to the environment and giving its voice to the community who feel that we need to protect our environment. We need to protect our sea life. We need to protect our, you know, the beautiful mammals and animals that surround our island.
And I think
we're very lucky.
Yeah, and I think the point that I always find quite reassuring is it feels like we're building on the work of others. So you know, this isn't a proposal for a marina is not a new phenomenon. I think it's about the fourth or fifth proposal for a marina on Waiheke coastlines, and you know, they've all been challenged quite vociferously, as they are around other parts of the country. I mean, it's very
I think it's I think what's important for our community to understand is that you know, I feel that there is a substantial success that we have all already achieved, and that is to say, to any developer or any person or company coming into Waiheke Island looking to exploit our precious resources and our precious environment, we have, as you say, from not just this case but other cases, we have put them on notice that if you're going to come and try and exploit our resources, you will be met with a community that will not allow you to simply come in and take. We will require you to, you know, live up to the values and standards that make Waiheke so special. And those values are not rooted in money, but are rooted in things that, you know, cannot be quantified. And so I think that's such an important message that we've been able to send through this case and other cases. At the same time, you know, whilst there are setbacks, we will continue to hold developers who do have permission to construct certain developments on Waiheke, we will continue to hold them to account, because we only get our environment once, you know, and we only get one shot at protecting it, and once it's gone, it's gone. And that's why we stood shoulder to shoulder with the Ngāti Power Trust Board, because their interest was in preserving this for generations to come. And whilst there's been a slight setback in that, we will continue to stand shoulder to shoulder with them. We are proud that we've been able to give them a voice before the court. And one thing that was, you know, is incredibly surprising in the judgment is we tried to highlight the change that Auckland Council gave to the issue of, you know, environmental effects by issuing its declaration of emergency last year. And, you know, the court pronounced that, you know, that declaration is something that isn't new. It's just a political pronouncement on something that we all should have always known. And I think that misses the mark. I think that ignores that there are a lot of practices and processes that we've adopted to date that do not appreciate the science.
Absolutely.
And it's why you've got people like Greta and you know, major activists now standing up and going, don't tell us it's obvious, because the way we have been behaving the past 10 years certainly isn't reflective of it being obvious to the rest of the world. So that's really interesting, and I think that's something that a lot of other cases will pick up on. And it's a little bit sad to think that pronouncing a declaration of emergency on climate effectively means nothing. A lot of people would have thought that it means a lot. And the example that I use, I think, and if we look at the disastrous Australian context at the moment, you know, when you have a declaration of emergency because of the bushfires, you have to change how you deal with the land, because you understand all of a sudden that that land is now at a greater risk than you previously understood it. And I would have liked the court to have had that view and the effect of the declaration of emergency, rather than just say, oh no, that's just a pronouncement of what we already know.
I mean, I think it just goes to show that, you know, the law is also something that needs to be interpreted, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yes,
well, they say the more than us. Yes. Now, I just wanted to say thank you, because it's, you know, regardless of where things go from here, I think it's just tremendously exciting that, you know, we've had people like yourself who've stepped forward and held the space in something which is incredibly interesting but also very challenging, and has also put significant cost demands on our community, and also in terms of resource and time. So thank you for being one of those people who's really been involved in that process.
Oh, that's appreciated. But look, I stand on the shoulders of giants who've come before me. You know, that the DMI experience was a particularly important one for setting the tone for the community to enlighten it on what we can do and what we can achieve. This case too, like I say, is part of a bigger process. It's not just about the outcome. And there have been so many people who have given countless hours, countless resources to this effort. And whatever the outcome in this one individual case, you know, we have achieved so much in showing developers and the wider, I guess, Auckland and New Zealand a roadmap on how you stand up for things you truly believe in.
Mm, indeed. Okay, so yeah. I'm going to have to finish the show. So I just wanted to say thanks again for coming on and your insightful comments. And just to say that I did invite Tony Mayer, who's the marina developer, to speak, and his comment was that he would let the very clear and incisive Environment Court decision to speak for itself. So he didn't want to appear on radio at this time, but it's not that he wasn't invited. So thank you very much. You've been listening to Waiheke Radio.